Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Never Have I Ever Parenting Edition, where Shauna and Laura do strange things in dark places, and we do our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get to it. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is episode 49. Shauna, hello.
Hi.
How are you doing? What's going on with you? How old is your baby? Tell me everything.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Cece is 21 weeks old now.
Ready to drink? Lots of breast
what?
Milk?
What? Oh, I thought you were asking me if I was ready to drink. I was like, yeah, sure. Why not?
At any given point in the day, yes.
Anywho. Okay. So as I mentioned last week, I think I started work. I've been feeling extremely tired, waking up a lot at night, and I am now very determined to get my baby to sleep through the night. Like, I'm on a mission. I didn't have to do this with my first, as you know, because she just magically slept through the night by herself.
At 6 and weeks.
Yeah.
I got to keep bringing that up because it's fucking crazy.
Crazy. It's so crazy. It, like, did not feel crazy at the time. I was just like, baby sleep. And now in hindsight, of course, I'm like, oh my God. That was, yeah, definite unicorn baby. This is definitely different. So I've been reading a lot of different books, a lot of different sleep training resources. Mm-hmm. Definitely am going the sleep training route. Nothing against it.
Can you tell us, so tell us a little bit about what sleep training like is and what it means. Because I feel like it's a term that's thrown about a lot, but I don't, you know, like, what does it even mean? Like, is it like a Rocky montage with your baby or like?
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Is that the Rocky theme? Oh, God, I don't even know.
It's fine, because if it wasn't, then we don't have to pay a licensing fee, so you're good.
Perfect. Good. I'm just making up tunes.
la, la, la. La, la, la. I don't know. Weird. This is how we...
I think that's the Rocky theme. Lots of la-las in the Rocky theme.
La-la-las, yes. Okay. So what is sleep training?
Oh my God. Sleep deprived delirium. So sleep training is a lot of things. I've read a lot of books. And first of all, it's a lot of stuff I've already been doing since pretty much the beginning. Like since she was about 6 weeks old, you know, I started the evening routine.
Yes.
Starting to wind down and get those things in place. Starting to practice putting her down awake. And the snoo actually helped a lot with that. Like, I almost always put her down awake in the snoo, and then she would be shimmied to sleep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's got that down. And apparently that's a huge part of sleep training. And then once you kind of establish those things, if they're still waking up in the night, first of all, you've got to night wean if you want to. I mean, some people don't mind waking up and nursing and they like that time with the baby. I have been looking forward to cutting that out of the routine now that she's 5 months old. That's when the doctor told me to think about doing that. So that's part of it. So they don't wake up as much during the night.
Did you ask your doctor specifically, or was that just something your doctor offered up?
No, I asked at her 4-month appointment. I was like, so I'm good to night wean and do sleep training, right? And he's like, I suggest waiting till she's 5 months old and 15 pounds. She was not there yet. So I was disappointed, but willing to go with it because, you know, I want to make sure she's really ready for it. I guess the theory is like at that age and at that weight, they're really like able to go through the night without eating, you know?
Okay, yeah. They've got the stores, those fat stores ready to go. They can make it all the way through.
Yeah, exactly. And then so beyond that, then it's the how do you get them to fall back asleep? You know, and part of it is giving them time to work it out, which means crying and fussing. Mm-hmm. And you know that my girl cries like the best of them. I mean, she will scream and wail.
She's got
so
lungs.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does. So that's a big part of it. So for me, the first step is the night weaning. Like, we've got to get rid of the feeds. She's doing like one or two per night. And I just want to cut those out.
What do you consider, like, do you consider a dream feed or is that not part of it?
Okay. No, dream feed, because it's before bedtime, no one has to wake up out of a deep sleep to go do it. Also, Steve is in charge of it, so he's fine with it. And I go to bed a little bit earlier and he goes in and does it. And
okay.
Because he does it with a bottle.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has been taking charge of this night weaning process because I've noticed that when I go in to comfort her, if she wakes up and is crying at a time that's not like feeding time, she gets upset. She seems like she wants to nurse and I don't know what to do. And so I just give in automatically and nurse her.
it's such a crutch, isn't it? It's like, because oh, you have the thing that will make them happy. You have two of them, you know, and it's like.
Two of them.
You can
exactly.
sit and listen to them scream, or you can just be like, here you go, kid. Make them happy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it gets them quiet. So I've been just this whole time just very much about, like, I need to get her quiet as soon as possible. She's going to wake up the other daughter, and I can't handle the crying and blah, blah, blah. So she's gotten in a habit of waking up at certain times at night wanting milk. And so the whole theory, I've
What times? I want to know, like, I'm all about specifics. So, like, what times is she waking up? Is it, like, always the same time?
No, it's been here and there, but generally it's around 2 and 4:35-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not 4:35, but 4:32, 5 a.m.?
Like, it's somewhere around there. Yeah.
She wakes up at 4:35 a.m., exactly.
Every single day, like an alarm clock. So one of the books I've been following, and I read this one for my first daughter too, and wasted my time, obviously, that time around because I didn't need it. The one I followed the first time around and I've been reading this time too is The Sleep Easy Solution.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I love that. So that book definitely taught me about like their routines, getting started early with all of that, and they have a whole section on how to night wean. And the whole idea is that you wake them up before they usually wake up because you want to kind of jostle them out of their habit. They've been in this habit of waking up at 2 every day and needing milk. And so you go in at 1:30 and get it's almost like give them a dream feed.
Like, yeah, like an additional dream feed. Okay, okay.
Exactly. So you can fill their tummy. And so Steve has been doing this. He's awesome. He's my BFP this week, except I'm already talking about it now. So I won't do it at the end also.
Spoiler.
But Steve, you are my BFP. You have been a rock star. So he wakes up, goes in at 1:30 with a bottle of milk, and we've been tapering the amount of milk every night. So the first night, because I think we started with like, I don't know, 5 ounces or something. And then the next night was 4 ounces. Oh. Then the next night is 3, etc. Yeah. And the idea is eventually they're out of the habit of waking up and they're out of the habit of getting those calories and they get them during the day instead. They'll nurse more. Or if you're bottle feeding, you'll give them a little more bottle milk during the day.
Okay.
So we are in the middle of that. Steve's a rock star. I have no idea how this is going to go.
I have a question. So have you started tapering off the milk amounts or Steve?
Yes.
Steve? Okay. So I want to know, like, does she flip out when you don't give her the full amount?
No, because it's kind of like a dream feed.
Oh, okay. 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 I can, cause
I know, right? I'm so skeptical of this. I'm just like, okay, so then like the milk, you do like 1 ounce and the next day nothing. And then what? And then like, what do? Like, I'm like telling this to Steve. I'm like, I don't get it. What do these sleep consultants want me to do after this? Like, it's just going to be magic. Like, it's just going to magically work. So I'm like so skeptical. And I'm also frustrated with the sleep training books too, because my girl is not the typical case. I don't think she goes to bed at night like a dream. I mean, I do. I put her down awake and she goes to sleep.
That's amazing. That's
amazing. It is amazing. The problem is when she wakes up in the middle of the night, you know, even when it's not milk time, she'll wake up many times and scream and scream and cry. Aww. And it's these nighttime things that like I'm trying to tackle, and everyone wants you to, you know, tackle the putting them to bed. It's like put them to bed awake. I'm like, I do that. How do I figure out the middle of the night stuff?
Well, I mean, not that your suffering is making me feel better, but it is right now, because I have failed miserably at the putting the baby to sleep awake. Well, putting the baby down awake. I tried at the beginning. I've done it a couple times. It's worked a couple times. But, like, my problem is that he falls asleep nursing most of the time. And then it's like, well, shit, I guess it's just we put him down, you know? And, like, I have all this guilt about it, thinking that I'm ruining him for the future. But he actually is okay, save the 4 month sleep regression, which we will talk about in a second. Yeah. But, you know, he's okay, he's okay in the middle of the night. So I'm glad to know that it's not. You know, they're all so different, and it's not like I keep getting this feeling like I've failed already because I don't put him down awake, you know?
I don't know. I think it's super common. I remember a thread in my mom's group, which has like 900 members. Someone was like, putting your baby down to awake is a big joke, right? And I mean, everyone chimed in. They were like, yeah, that's such a joke. No, always nurse to sleep, blah, blah, blah. So I think everyone does it. I just happen to have a kid who she actually does not like being, like, I don't know, nurtured to sleep. She just she like almost cranes her body, like begging for the bed. And so I'm like, okay.
I mean, gift horse mouth. Don't question it.
I know, right? Just like go with the flow. But I will say one last thing is I found a piece of advice digging deep on the internet, trying to find something that fits my specific situation. And I found a sleep consultant give this advice, and I am trying this. And so I will give an update next week. She said, if you have a baby that's waking up and having a hard time falling back asleep in the middle of the night, it's because they're not being put to bed fully awake. That's one thing. And I'm like, but I am.
But
and she's like, and she's like, but you think you are, but if you're nursing the baby and they fall asleep and then they kind of wake up and you put them into bed, that's not really like they're relying on the nursing and comforting to go to bed. So that I do. I'll nurse her. She'll wake up a little bit and then I'll set her down and she'll be awake and go to sleep. So she's like suggests that I actually like get up, maybe change her clothes, read a book, like fully wake her up. And so I'm like,
that's terrifying.
It is. And I'm trying it. I get her up. I put her in pajamas. I sit in a completely different chair, lights on. I've been reading her books and putting her down. And here's the second thing I'm trying. She said a pacifier is another thing. It's a crutch. These things are crutches and they rely on them in the middle of the night. And again, I'm like, I give her a pacifier and she like plays with it for 30 seconds and spits it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the consultant was like, even if they spit it out after 30 seconds, doesn't matter. They are familiar with it and they know it. She's like, don't do the pacifier and put your kid to bed truly awake. She's like, try it for a week. And if your middle of the night wakings aren't better, you know, I don't know. You get your money back or whatever, but it was a free article, so not really. So she convinced me to try it.
Well,
I was all right, I'll try.
Yeah, give it a try. More power to you because all that sounds horrible to me.
Like, it does. It's totally horrible, but I am like, I don't want to say I'm at my wit's end because it's not that bad. I'm just determined. Like, I really want to solve this situation. I really want to sleep through the night. I love my baby and I love nursing her and I love being with her, but I really, really need more solid sleep. The fragmented sleep is just getting to me big time.
I hear you. So, 100%.
So we're in the middle of it and I will update you next week. And yeah, that's all I have for my check-in.
Oh, man.
What about you?
So my baby is 17 weeks old.
All right.
Which means he's 4 months old. You know.
Oh my gosh, our babies are getting so old.
I know. They're old dudes and ladies. No, I mean, so being 4 months comes with like a bunch of stuff, right? Like one thing is the 4 month checkup with all your shots.
Yeah. How did he do this time?
Better. Good. He wasn't. So I think one thing that's better is that you only get two shots instead of three with this one, or at least we did. I don't know.
I was going to say, I only got two in a little mouth thing last time. Are they coming up short on us?
No. I'm saying, so 2 month shots you get. Three shots and a mouth thing, but
yeah,
then the 4 months. Oh, you didn't? Huh?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
Interesting.
So for his 2 months, he got mouth and 3 shots. And for his 4 months, he got mouth and 2 shots. It might be like whatever brand they use or like,
yes,
because they combine different vaccines and different shots. So, but anyway, he cried, of course, but it wasn't quite as traumatic as the last time.
Mm-hmm,
and, like, he was basically calm by the time we left the office. So that was nice.
Yay.
And we asked our doctor about solid foods because I know your doctor gave you the go ahead at 4 months.
Yes.
And my doctor said, wait until 6 months.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. And I think we're just going to ignore that.
Why? So, okay. Why are you choosing to do that?
First of all, my mom is a big influence. My mom is a pediatrician. As listeners know, she was a guest on this podcast way back. Gosh, who knows? Weeks and weeks ago. And she's been saying, oh gosh, he's ready for solid food. Look at this guy. He's ready for solid food. And he shows a lot of readiness signs. First of all, he has very good trunk control. You know, he doesn't sit up on his own yet, but if you're holding him like low on his sort of waist, he sits up really well. He is watching us eat so intently. Like,
oh,
it's a little scary.
So
like
cute.
Like,
oh
he
gosh.
Like watches you take a spoon like or a fork from your plate to your mouth, like the whole way he's tracking it. It's amazing. And yeah, totally reaching for our food and for our drinks. And my mom also says that like your doctor said, the recommendations are changing. You know,
right.
They used to be 6 months. Everyone said 6 months. And now people are saying between 4 and 6 months. And Emily Oster's book, Crib Sheet, says anywhere between 4 and 6 months is fine, too. And I trust her and I trust her research. And the final thing is that a few episodes ago, we talked to Dr. Robert Hamilton, if you remember. And he talked about trying to get early allergen exposures, right?
Yes.
You're trying to get those peanuts, the wheat, the dairy as early as possible. And I mean, not as early as possible. You're not giving this to a 2-week-old, but, you know, like starting around 4 months. And I was really eager to get that started. So I talked to my mom about it and I decided to go against medical advice. And I think we're going to start him on solid foods like this weekend coming up. Actually, my mom is actually coming to town. So I think we're going to like do it when she's here. And I don't know. I ordered some spoons on Amazon.
Oh, cute.
Little baby spoons. Uh-huh. So I'll check back in with that. But
okay.
But, you know, also because your doctor said it was okay, it made me think, you know, like it's a recommendation. Because she said, oh, you know, the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, says 6 months. That's their recommendation. The American Academy of Pediatrics also recommends that you room share for 12 months. Like, there's a lot of recommendations that the AAP gives that are a little bit, if not questionable, just sort of open to interpretation, I should say, you know?
Well, it feels like they err on the side of caution. Like, they want to be as cautious as possible because they're trying to cover the bases of every baby ever. Like, we use our judgment on our own baby and like their abilities and stuff. And
exactly. Yeah. And you know, he really seems ready. He really does. So we're going to try. So I'll check back with tell you how that cheating went next week.
The cheating. Baby's first cheating.
Yes. And to mirror, just to go back to the 4 month sleep regression, I know we talked about it last week. I don't want to get too much into sleep, but I think we might be on the tail end of it. Like, it's gotten better.
Oh, good.
There were like 3 nights that were just hideous. Like being a newborn again, literally waking up every 60 to 90 minutes. It was crazy. But
my jaw just like fell open. I was just like,
it was so hard. It was last week I was in the thick of it. It was so hard. But so then he's now waking up like 2 to 3 times a night, which is much better. But he used to only wake up once a night to nurse. So
right.
We'll see what's happening. But it seems like it might be tapering off. I'm just crossing my fingers because this is unsustainable.
Yes, it is. Are you nursing him all the times he wakes up or are
no.
you comforting him back to sleep?
So one tip that I got from my Mommy and Me teacher, who, if you remember from last week, she tried to call it the cognitive leap instead of the sleep regression to try to reframe
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
She said one reason she does that is because she wants us to understand that when they're waking up, it's because the world is so interesting to them.
Oh, right.
It's not necessarily because they're hungry. And if they're getting as much food as they normally do during the day, then they probably don't need extra feedings at night. So I have been really good about just calming him back down without resorting to the boob. I've Mm-hmm. Actually, I feel very proud of myself. I've kept to only one feeding a night this whole time.
That's fantastic. That's so good. It's not easy. It's because, like we mentioned earlier, it's like the impulse is just like, oh, they're crying, just feed them and then put them back. So
I do that during the day. I am definitely like the person who's like, it's been an hour and 45 minutes, but you look hungry. Sure, here, have a boob, you know, but like, but also I feel like it's, I'd much rather him get his calories during the day than at night. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's how we've been doing with the sleep front. I'm still very tired, but I think we're getting better.
Good.
And then the final thing is, it's not my BFN for the week. We're both doing like doubling up on these, but it should be, which is, it was my 3-year wedding anniversary. Is that right? You were one of my bridesmaids. That sounds right.
I was, and I don't know what year it was.
It was.
Because my first daughter was like 4 or 5 months old at the time.
That's
right. It was like my first big outing as a new mom.
That's right. So it was my 3rd wedding anniversary this week.
Yay, congratulations.
Thank you. And I did not get Corey a thing. Did not get him a card. I did not write him a heartfelt note. I put on a dress and went to dinner with him that he paid for.
That's something. That is, you know, you are a tired, tired mother. That's something.
Bad, though. I feel bad. I feel like I should have been able to do something. Like, honestly, it snuck up on me. And I also feel bad because Corey's been, like, such a hero this month. I just feel bad because, like, he has my birthday and then our anniversary, like, really close together. And I don't know. It's just a lot. So,
yeah.
And he's great with it. So I'm thinking I might need to go big for like Father's Day slash.
Yeah, you could do something for Father's Day.
Yeah, I think I need to like overcompensate. So, so that was kind of a bummer. But we did go out for dinner to a very like, we went to a very fancy restaurant downtown. And
ooh.
And actually one of his friends was the sommelier there who like paired us with wine for every course.
Oh my god,
it was so good.
Like a dream.
It was so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway,
well, that's fun. Look, I mean, there's so much pressure on us as humans, women, mothers, to give, and I get it. Like, you want to, like, you know, also give so much to your husband on the anniversary. But I relieve you of any of that guilt because you Aww. Have a tiny baby and you have given your heart and soul to this baby and your sleep hours in the middle of the night
and my
your
body.
Breast milk. Yes. Your boobs, your everything. Like, if any year you get a pass on a heartfelt note, it's this year, girl. It is this year.
Thanks,
and I'm sure
Shana.
Corey agrees. Like,
I know. He said he didn't care. But I think also, one of my love languages, I don't know if this is like a whole topic to introduce, but for anyone who's read the 5 love languages, I am a person who receives love by acts of service, but I think I give love through gift giving. Like, that's one of Aww. My, so I feel bad when I don't do it because I feel like I'm failing, but I don't think he feels that way. So,
well, what's his love language? What is, how does he like to receive gifts?
Well, he, to mix our personality types or personality quizzes, if we're going with Gretchen Rubin's four types, what is it?
I don't know. This is getting real confusing.
This is getting real wrong.
Girl.
Anyway. The point is, for anyone who's familiar, he's a questioner. He doesn't, so that means that he doesn't believe in this sort of crap. So,
oh,
like,
I see what you're saying.
So I haven't even bothered asking him to take the quiz to find out what his love language is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's either words of affirmation or quality time or like a combination of both.
Dude, words of affirmation. Talk about the easiest love language around. I mean, just be like, I love you, babe. And they're like fulfilled. Ugh.
Yeah, if you think, but that's if you're a person who isn't like emotionally stunted like me. I have to work really hard at it. It doesn't come naturally to me.
Oh,
like, I have to work really hard to actively praise and like, it's not that I'm mean. It's just that I don't, it doesn't, I feel like it doesn't feel sincere for me to say it, and so I don't say it. And so I've actually, like, actively had to work to just, like, say the nice thing that my heart is feeling all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I've heard that from many people. It's like, oh, what an easy love language. But for me, I find it very hard to express. So, anyway, this went
interesting.
This went in another direction. Five love languages. Interesting
big
book.
Tangent. Yeah, I have only ever read articles about it online. I should read the book.
I enjoyed it. I listened to the audiobook and I found it very helpful. So
cool.
Yeah.
Move on? Are you done? Are we done?
Are we done? Maybe we should talk about all our Myers-Briggs personality types first.
I ENFP. Kid. I don't know. Anyway.
That's
all
another
right, let's
episode.
Let's move on after this break.
Let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Welcome back to the show. Our special segment this week is Never Have I Ever, Parenting Edition, the fun game that we play where we talk about the things we never thought we would say, do, experience in life until we had children. Laura, I can't wait to hear your Never Have I Ever this week. What do you got?
All right. Never have I ever expressed breast milk into the sink of a very hip restaurant.
Whoa. What is going on there?
So if you remember last week, one of my things in my check-in was that I went to a concert with my friend Marilyn.
Right.
And the concert started at 10 p.m. If I recall, your reaction to that was like, oh,
yes.
Oh, go fuck yourself, hot chip, I think is what your reaction was.
I think it was like, yeah. No, that's not cool.
It was fine. It was fine. They only played for an hour. So it actually turns out I maybe didn't need to do this, but it was about 9:30 and Marilyn and I were at a very like hip restaurant on La Brea in like mid-city Los Angeles. Anyway, it was like a very cool restaurant, like, you know, small plates, you know, that kind of thing, like lots of high top tables.
Yes,
and yeah. Mm-hmm. And thankfully they had individual stalls for bathrooms because it was
going to say, I really hope you did this in an individual stall.
Yeah, I don't think I would have had the balls to do this in like a communal bathroom, but I don't know, the desperate times. So it was 9:30. I hadn't fed since like, you know, fed my baby since like 6:30. I think I pumped right before I left, but still, usually I dream feed around 10:30. So my boobs were starting to feel it. And I was like, oh shit, I'm going to this concert. For all I know, I could go till 1:00. And the El Rey Theater is definitely not a place you want to express breast milk.
I mean, I guess you could do it into the toilet.
Oh my God. With like a line of 30 women like waiting for you. What are you doing in there?
People have done weirder things in those stalls, but you know.
That is true. That is true. So I find myself in this bathroom, and also, can I just for a moment talk about the joy of like when you have to go to the bathroom and then you discover it's like a single stall?
Love it.
It's you're just like, ah, peace and quiet. So I go there and I go pee. I'm like washing my hands. I'm like, you know what? I'm like feeling my boobs, you know, I'm like weighing them. I'm like, oh, this is a little dicey. So recently I actually had watched a video on how to like properly hand express. Cause I was going to say,
how do you do that? I wouldn't have the first idea.
Well, so I had read all this stuff about how it's like, you know, you should hand express after pumping. It gets more out and like it helps like fully drain the breast. So you make more breast milk. Not that I've had any problem with supply, but I have like eternal paranoia about having problems with supply. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know how to do it. And I asked my friend Teresa, who is also a guest on the show. She was the midwife, the pregnant midwife, if you remember. Gosh, way back was probably like in the, you know, teens of our episodes when we were both mm-hmm. still pregnant. So I asked her, I was like, how do you hand express? And she sent me a video that I will post a link to on bigfatpositivepodcast.com. It's like a very medical video that's by like the Stanford prenatal or postnatal lab, blah, 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 about like how to properly do it. And so I watched it and I had started practicing by like trying to express after I pumped. And it is actually pretty amazing. Like once you have the technique down, you actually can get a lot more out.
What? Really?
And it was a lifesaver in theory if this concert was going to go long, because I actually was able to get probably like an ounce or two out just by like squeezing it like I'm a cow into the sink.
Oh my God. And it's so funny because so many people are like, liquid gold. Like, I don't know. Spill an ounce. And you're just like squeezing it down the drain.
Well, to be fair, I had had like three cocktails at that point. So I probably wouldn't have wanted to actually have my baby drink that. I was definitely a little drunk at that point. So not by the time I got home, but it wasn't, you know, I was like, woohoo, no baby. I can drink as much as I want. And yeah, just squeeze it down the sink. But I did check the door to make sure it was locked about five times.
Oh, someone would have walked in. Hilarious.
And then Marilyn was like, what took you so long? She didn't actually say that, because that's like a rude thing to ask when someone comes back from the bathroom. But
oh, yeah, because everyone assumes number two.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I was like, well, I just expressed a bunch of breast milk. I'm ready to go. And she was like, what? So that is the thing that I did that I never could have imagined I'd do before I had kids. Shauna, do you have something for us that you never thought you'd do and now is totally normal?
Oh, but of course, of course. So I love that yours came with like an amazing story. And I feel like I have a few that are just kind of like small little things. And why don't I just share them all?
Okay. Yeah. More the merrier. Let's hear it.
All right. So here are some of the never have I evers from my life recently. Never have I ever been locked in a dark closet holding a crying baby.
What? Is this at home?
Yes. Yes. Could you imagine if it were like at IKEA in a fake closet?
Okay, quick why. Quick why.
Okay, quick, really quick. So this is because I was playing hide and seek with my three-year-old. And if you have a three-year-old, you know how demanding they are. It's like, play hide and seek with me. You're like, okay. So I'm holding the baby and the three-year-old is like closing her eyes. And so I sneak into a closet and I'm in there and she starts crying. And the three-year-old's like, I can't find you. I can't find you. And just like, she's just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Just like, but you know, she knows where I am, but she's like playing this game and
suspension
blah, blah, blah.
Of disbelief. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm in the dark coat closet at the front of our house. Amazing. With a crying baby. Never thought I would be in that position. Here's another one. I have never said the phrase, stop licking your butt on the baby blanket so many times in my life.
I hope this isn't about Steve.
His butt licking habit is so annoying. He's always like, I gotta get down on the baby blanket. No, this is my dogs who I've talked about so many times, who I just love and also like annoyed by. I spread out a huge baby blanket in the living room, especially when I'm working, so that Cece can roll around and play. And if I don't set up like a little gate to separate them, they just like, I call it their grooming parlor. They just go to whatever rug or blanket is like off limits.
Yeah.
Cleanest.
Yeah, yeah.
And lay down, lick their anus, lick their paws, lick their junk, their genitals. And it's just like, stop it. This isn't the grooming parlor. So I have been like, stop licking your butt on the baby blanket.
At least they don't do that butt scoot thing.
Oh, they do that too. Oh, they do it all, girl. They do it all. But, you know, I'm like, I try to like model polite behavior for my children. So I'm like, stop. Chili, Sasha, stop licking your butt on the baby blanket. Instead of like, you know, I don't know, get your ass off the blanket, which is kind of what I'm
I mean, that's what your heart is saying. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yes. I mean, I do love my dogs, but yes. And here's I have two more.
OK.
Never have I ever played catch with a diaper full of urine.
Oh, boy.
So some of these definitely, you know, have a little more to do with my older kid.
Uh-huh.
So if you have older kids, you know, just like the wacky shit you get into, because they're just like, they come up with these ideas and you're like, okay, she still wears a diaper to bed, my older one. And in the morning, it's full of pee. And so I take it off and wrap it up. And I took it off in the morning. She's like, throw it to me. And I'm just like tired. I'm like, okay. And I toss it to her and she catches it. And she throws it back and I catch it. And I'm just like, holy shit, it's like 6 a.m. And I'm dead tired and I'm playing catch with a diaper.
Amazing.
A full of urine. So there's that one. And then here's the last one. This one also has to do with Elle, my three-year-old. Never have I ever been jealous of a three-year-old's abs. Her abs are killer. I mean, she is active all day.
Yeah. She has a six-pack?
Day. Pretty much. Yeah. I'm just like, girl, I want your six-pack. And I'm like, Shauna, she's three. She's yes. physical like 12 hours per day. She comes home after a long day and like runs back and forth in the house. That's what she does. She just runs. She's yeah. like, look at me run. And I can barely like walk to the bathroom without like collapsing.
She also hasn't had two babies.
Yeah. Or lived 40 years.
Or lived 40 years.
Or like had an addiction to chocolate chip cookies and Jersey Mike subs.
I don't know, girl. I just ate, like, I got a gallon of ice cream, and I don't think I put a single scoop of that ice cream in a separate bowl. I ate the whole thing. Not in one sitting, but, like, I'm beyond bowls at this point. Oh, like, what's the point?
So what I feel you on that. It's just extra dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, those are my never have I evers.
Amazing.
I feel very vulnerable right now.
I think they're hilarious and relatable, and everyone's going to love them.
Oh, my gosh.
Plus, I'm the one who was in a hip restaurant squeezing my boobs like a freaking cow. Nothing makes you feel more like a cow than manual expression, though, I will say.
Yes, I can only imagine. I can mm-hmm. only imagine. Mm. Amazing.
All right. Well, shall we wrap this episode up after a quick break?
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna. Think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good. Make my shower feel like a spa and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
Lolaviz products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at lolaviz.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. All right, so every episode we end with our big fat positives or our big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
This week I have a BFN.
All right.
So I don't know if I mentioned this on the show. I think I've mentioned it to you. I did move my baby Cece to her crib, and I moved her to her own room. So she's own room mm-hmm. in her own crib now. And this crib is a hand-me-down from my older daughter. And I wanted to get her a new mattress. So the crib is fine.
Can I clarify real quick? It was a hand-me-down as in like your daughter used it, but it was new then? Or it was a hand-me-down that your daughter used and now it's again being handed down?
It was new when we got it for Elle. Okay. And so it's about 3 years old. And the mattress that's been in there, she used that for about 2.5 years.
All right.
And the last like year, I guess, she just, you know, stood, jumped, all kinds of things on the mattress. And it was cracking and blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to get a new mattress in the used crib for Cece.
Makes sense.
So this is kind of a little BFP tag on here. My mom recently won a $100 gift card to Walmart.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah. And she gifted it to us.
Aw.
So she gifted it to us to spend on the kids, which is awesome. And I was like, oh, we need a new mattress for the crib. So I went online and I got a mattress called the Sealy Ortho Rest Crib and Toddler Mattress. I'm like, okay. Sealy, I've heard of that. It had some decent reviews. I mean, it had like 100 reviews, not like a million, but yeah, it was available in Walmart. And so I was like, okay, cool. So we got it and I used it for, I'm telling you, not even 1 week. And it started developing a permanent indentation.
What?
Where my daughter's head rested.
Really?
Yeah. She sleeps in a Merlin sleep sack, so she doesn't roll. She doesn't move very much when she sleeps. But still, like, when I would get her out of the bed, like, the indentation where her head was would just remain.
That's crazy, because, like, one of the things about crib mattresses is they're supposed to be so firm, right, that they don't create any, like, dips or anything like that.
Yeah. And of course, that's how they market it. They're like super firm, extra coils, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I like used it for a couple days and I'm like, I don't think that indentation is going away. This is terrible. Yeah. So I'm like, that feels really, really unsafe because, you know, she's going to be rolling soon and putting her face in this mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, I have to return this mattress, which was a whole rigmarole because returning. Returns with Walmart are so annoying. I'm used to Amazon, which like you just click online that you want to return it. They give you your money back. You send the thing back.
Yeah.
If they get it, you know, you just keep the money. So I had to like package it up, send it back. That took like a week. And then like it took like 3 weeks for them to process and finally got the money back on the gift card. But anyway, so it was a big fail and I was so bummed. But we got the money back finally and I bought another mattress, which is the same one we used for my first daughter. I ended up just getting it on Amazon. And this one's great. I love it. So this one I'm going to share with you guys too. This one is the Safety First Heavenly Dreams crib mattress. And I used it for Elle. And even though she like jumped on it and stuff and it kind of started cracking at the end, it was super firm, never had an indentation, was perfectly great and safe for years. So it was only like $50.
Oh, wow. That's not too bad.
Like, yeah, it has like 3,000 positive reviews. So I recommend that one and not the Sealy Ortho. So
yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah, you know, this is making me think because we have a crib that's like a third generation hand-me-down and I don't know how new the mattress is. Like, I don't know if it's been used with It started with my 5-year-old niece, and it's now been used with my 5-year-old niece, my 4-year-old niece, and my 2-year-old niece. But I don't know. I feel like maybe they bought the mattress more recently. It still looks like it's in really good condition, but now I'm all paranoid. Now I think I need to go check it out.
Yeah, I would check it out or ask them, because when I got this new mattress that was the same brand as the previous one, I mean, I could tell instantly
really
how much wear and tear that old one had gotten.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was just like, it was way flatter, way spongier, and I just, you know, that didn't occur to me until I like saw it side by side with a brand new super firm version hadn't been stomped on. So
we'll have to look. Yeah,
take a look.
Not that he's sleeping in his crib yet, but he does take naps in it. So
Yeah. It's definitely a good thing to think about. So anyway, what about you? Do you have a BFP or BFN?
I have a BFP.
Cool.
And it's a product again, but I just feel like when you have a new baby, when you find something that makes your life easier or is more like more fun, it's just, you want to share it. And I feel like we share a lot of products and I feel like, oh God, are we always just sharing products? But like this, I love these things. So, and I'm not even that big of a shopper. I don't know about you, but like, I never buy anything for myself, but I feel like I'm buying things constantly for this baby.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my most recent one. It's the Dr. Brown's Fresh First Silicone Feeder.
What even is that?
I know. So it just looks like a really big pacifier, right? And it has this like silicone end that has like little holes in it. And it's probably like, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches long. And what you do is you put fresh food, like fruits or veggies or whatever, into it, and you give it to the baby to nom on, and they can't get big particles because it can only go through these little holes.
Ooh.
So it's supposed to be for like your, you know, first foods, and supposed to make it easier for you to like give them food. Like if you have a bunch of blueberries, you can just stick it in there and you know they're not going to like choke because they have to like chew on it. It's good for teething, right? Which is why awesome. I bought it. But here's what I've been doing with it. And this was a tip that I got from my friend Carrie, who is also a guest on the show.
Oh yeah, we've given a shout out to every guest.
All of our guests, yes. And she got this from an Instagram user called Can Do Kiddo, I think.
Oh, I follow them.
Yeah, so what you do is you can put frozen breast milk in the feeder, and then they can chew on it, and it like slowly melts, but it soothes their little gums. And I think the baby is just starting to like pre-teethe. Like he's really like drooling a lot more and really wants to chew on things all the time. So I got some breast milk. I actually like took one of my smaller bags, like a 2-ounce bag that I had frozen that was like some like left, you know, random size that I couldn't freeze a whole full 6 ounces or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And because breast milk is full of sugar and fat, it was easy to sort of like chip off pieces and put it in. And he loved it. Like, he couldn't get enough of it. I had to refill it, like, 3 times. And I finally had to be like, look, like, you can't get all your breast milk from this frozen feeder thing.
Does it make a big mess, though?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Do not do this on, like, nice carpet. He had a bib on. And, you know, I just assumed that because, you know, half of it ends up on his shirt or on his hands. But he was really excited by it. So I was, it was just a big win. And he felt real. I think it made his mouth feel better. So
I love that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So that's my BFP. I'll put a link to it at bigfatpositivepodcast.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at BFP Podcast. And make sure you subscribe in whatever podcast platform you listen to, whether it's Anchor or Spotify or iTunes. And leave us a review and a rating if you can. It really helps people find us.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Shauna Maiko, Laura Bierick, and Steve Yeager. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Thanks. See you next week.
Bye. La 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 la. Okay.
I'm drinking a gin and tonic, so I'm sure that will make
my slurry. Oh, I'm having wine.
Oh, good.
Hashtag mom confessions.
Right?
Oh man. Shit, I dropped my phone.